Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This morning we're beginning a new series in the book of Galatians entitled Good News for You, in which we want to explore together the good news of the gospel in the book of Galatians. I trust that you're going to pay extra special attention this morning, knowing that later, after refreshments, you're going to have the opportunity to share your own thoughts, your insights, opportunity to ask questions and answer questions and maybe share things from the text, what it means for you and how you see yourself wanting to apply this. Maybe there's things here that you're going to take further this direction or that direction. So I hope you will listen extra carefully. Maybe you want to take notes. You know, as ideas and things come to mind that you want to share later, you might want to jot those down. Also, of course, there is an outline in the back of your bulletin. You're welcome to use that if you think that might be helpful. But our hope is that by going over this together later in discussion, it'll help us to get more into the Word and get more out of it, to really pay more attention to it, wrestle with it, think about it, and help one another apply it to our lives. So I do hope that you'll pay special extra attention and listen extra carefully this morning, knowing you're going to have an opportunity to share your thoughts about this as well. Again, we're beginning a new series here in the book of Galatians, beginning with Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Let's hear God's word. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do bless you. We thank you that we can gather here this morning and worship you. And we pray, O Lord, that the hearing of your word, that the listening and the thinking about it, the wrestling with it, and even the discussing of it later and the sharing would all lead to more and more heartfelt and joyful worship. Lord, that's what we pray for. We pray for that, for hearts and lives of joyful faith and worship. So we ask, Lord, now the grace and blessing of your Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When was the last time you heard good news? I mean, when was the last time you heard really good news? The book of Proverbs says that good news is like cold water to a weary soul. In other words, good news is refreshing. It's invigorating. Good news is like a glass of ice cold water on a hot, steamy day. When was the last time you heard news like that? When was the last time you heard really good news? Well, this morning I want us to see together that the gospel is good news. The gospel is really good news for you. Look with me at our text this morning, beginning with verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Okay. So Paul begins by introducing himself as an apostle. Apostle is someone who's been sent out like an ambassador or a herald. An apostle is someone sent out with a message. So Paul begins by introducing himself as someone who's been sent out with a message, or someone who has been sent out with news. Okay, an apostle is someone sent out with news. But then Paul quickly qualifies himself. He says, not from men. He's an apostle, but he's not sent out by men. He's not your typical messenger. He hasn't been sent by some earthly government or some worldly king. He says, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. In other words, Paul has been sent out by God himself with a message from God about God. When Paul says, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, he's telling us that he has a message from God about God. Okay? The good news, the gospel, is primarily a message about who God is and what God has done. This is important because we are fundamentally, in our old nature, we're fundamentally self-centered. I mean, we're selfish. We think about ourselves, our own problems, our own issues. But even when you're not being selfish, we're still fundamentally man-centered. And that is, we live as if what we see is all there is. You might be a very outgoing person. You may be very relational, very extroverted, very family-oriented and community-minded. I mean, you may not be personally selfish, but in our old nature, we are still man-centered in the sense that we live as if what we see is all there is. Maybe you're not just thinking me, me, me. Maybe you're thinking about him and her and his problems. But still, we live as if that's all there is, or at least that's the main thing. You've probably seen it's a drawing or a sketch of a man in the center of a circle. It's a very famous drawing. I think it's by Leonardo da Vinci, and it came to symbolize the Renaissance. Okay. Renaissance was a time in history of rediscovering the arts, music, culture, sculpture, science, all sorts of amazing inventions and exploration. And this drawing of a man inside of a circle became symbolic of the Renaissance. And it became symbolic of the saying, man is the measure of all things. Okay. Western civilization was coming out of the Middle Ages, what they used to call the Dark Ages. There was just an explosion of creativity in terms of sculpture and literature and inventions, explorations, discoveries in science. There was all kind of amazing things happening in art. There was Michelangelo and Sistine Chapel and all these amazing things. And so people thought, look what man can do. Man is the measure of all things. And that idea is still with us today. But the truth is, okay, the universe in which we live is actually God-centered. We might live as if what we see is all that really matters, but the truth is, God is the center of the universe. He is the center of all things. We might live as if what we see is what really matters, but the truth is, the Lord is the center of all things. He is the one who really matters. And so here is Paul saying he's got a message from God about who God is and what God has done. Look with me at our text again. Paul says in verse 2, he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Well, these would have been the churches that Paul planted on his first missionary journey, so Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and so on. And he says to them, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is Paul's message, that God sends you grace and peace. Okay, that's good news, that God freely sends you grace and peace. Grace is just another word for God's blessings that are free. And so Paul's message he's been sent out is that God sends you his blessings and peace for free. It's not primarily a message about something you and I have to do. It's not primarily about you and me. It's primarily a message about God and who God is and what God has done and what God is doing, that God sends out blessings and peace for free. Look what it says. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. In other words, this good news, this message, is primarily about who God is and what God has done. He says Jesus gave himself for our sins. Okay, Jesus freely, willingly gave himself, sacrificed himself, died in our place for our sins to deliver us, to save us, to rescue us from the present evil age. When Paul calls this a present evil age, he doesn't mean that everybody's just selfish. I'm sure that back then there were some people who were generous and family-oriented, community-minded and outgoing, just like they are today. But I think what he means is that because of our sins, we all live as if what we see is all that really matters. Okay? We're blinded by our sin. We're blinded to the reality that God is the center and the measure of all things. But he says here, good news, Jesus has given himself for our sin to deliver us from this blindness, to come to know and receive blessings from the God who is the center of all things. Put it this way. You go to see a movie today, okay? And I mean a good movie, okay? There's always going to be trashy movies out there. But if you go to a good movie day, even the best movies today will tell you, look within. Listen to your heart. The truth is inside of you. And I trust we know what they mean by that, but technically that's not true. Technically, salvation is not inside of you. Salvation comes from outside of you. Okay? Salvation comes from looking outside of you and looking to Jesus. Salvation doesn't come by looking at you and figuring it out and how you're doing and what you understand. Salvation comes from looking outside of you and looking to Jesus. That is really good news. Because we tend to beat ourselves up because you're just not good enough and you disappoint yourself. And you don't measure up. And we live as if everything hangs on you. We're so stressed and anxious all the time because we live as if everything depends on us. And no wonder we're so wound up. Paul says, good news. It's not all about you. It doesn't all depend on you. Good news. God is the center of all things. And he freely gives you blessing and peace because of Jesus. To put another way, you are not the key to your salvation. Sure, there's things you got to believe. You got to receive the good news, but you aren't the key. Jesus is the key to your salvation. The gospel is good news about who God is and what God has done. Let's suppose you're taking an online course. Your teacher sends you an email and says, for your assignment next week, I want you to do this, 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 and this. That's not good news. That's just more work you got to do. Now, maybe it's not that hard and maybe you enjoy it, but it's not good news because that's just more you have to do. But if your teacher sends you an email and says, you know what, I've decided to postpone the test for a week, to give you another week to study. And I'm going to give you an extra month to work on that project. And I've decided to cancel that last assignment. You don't really need to do that. That would be good news because that's not one more thing you got to do. That's something the teacher has done for you. Okay? The gospel is good news because it's not one more thing you got to do. The gospel is what God in Christ has done for you. And that's why God gets all the glory. Okay, Paul ends by saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is saying, Jesus does all the work, so he gets all the glory. Okay, God saves you, and you just thank him. You just praise him. He does all the work, so he gets all the glory. Basically, this is the good news, that undeserved blessings and peace come to you freely. from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It's not one more thing you got to do. But in a world in which we are so wound up, we are worn out, we are tired, and we know in our hearts we don't measure up. And we spend so much time trying to appear to be better than we are, trying to convince ourselves we're doing okay. The good news is, Paul says, it's not all about you. You don't have to hold the world together. Here's something God has done for you. God sends you his blessings and peace for free in Jesus. That's good news. That's encouraging. That's refreshing. That's invigorating. That's really good news. And there is no other gospel. Verse 6, Paul says, I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Keep in mind, Paul is writing to Christians. And not just individual Christians, but he's writing to whole Christian congregations. And he says, I am shocked. I am surprised. I'm astonished you are so quickly turning away from God. That's what he says. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting him who called you. He's saying, I'm shocked that you are so quickly turning away from God. Well, these are Christian people. These are Christian congregations. How can a Christian church turn away from God? Well, he explains it in verse 7. He says, there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Okay. The gospel is all about God. And so to turn away from the gospel, even in a little bit, is to turn away from God. Okay? Here's what was going on. Okay? The early Christians were all Jewish. Okay? The men had all been circumcised. They all ate according to certain Jewish traditions, certain Jewish diet. And then they came to hear the good news about Jesus. And they came to enjoy the blessings and peace that come from free from Jesus. And then Paul took that message to these different churches in Galatia, or he planted these churches in Galatia, and most of the people he was preaching to were Jewish, but some of the people were not. They weren't Jewish, but they heard the good news and began to receive blessings and peace from God through Jesus. But then others had begun going around to these churches and saying, well, that's fine, you know, you can receive blessings from Jesus, but you got to get circumcised. And you got to start, you know, following our Jewish traditions. That really doesn't sound like that big a deal. I mean, listening to us today, but it obviously was, because Paul goes on to say, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul says, now listen, if anyone comes around preaching anything any different than what I preach you, let that person be accursed. Okay? Let him be condemned. Let him be judged. Paul says, even if it's me, even if I come around and tell you something different than what I told you before, don't listen to me. In fact, he says, even if an angel comes down from heaven and gives you some different news, some different gospel, let that angel be condemned. That sounds a bit much, doesn't it? I mean, this is a man who talks about blessings and peace and forgiveness, and now he's saying, anybody preaches to you different, let that person be accursed. It sounds like, isn't Paul being a little picky here? Isn't he being a little technical? Isn't he kind of getting hung up on a fine little point? At the very least, you know, sometimes we get worked up, we say something we shouldn't say. Or we say something we regret later. Isn't Paul getting a little out of hand here? Well, he goes on to say, as we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. You know, in case you thought maybe you misunderstood, maybe you thought you read it wrong, he repeats himself, let me say it again. Yes, Paul is upset. Yes, he is emotional. But he's also an apostle. And this is part of the message that he has been sent out to deliver. That the gospel is all about God. It's not primarily about you and what you have to do. It's about God. And so if you turn away from that gospel, even a little bit, you are turning away from God. Let me put it to you this way. When we begin to focus on what we do, instead of focusing on what God does for us, we're subtly turning away from God. When you get up in the morning, you think, I got to fill the truck up, and I got to run some errands, I got to do some things around the house, I got to pick up the... Yeah, there's things in life we got to do. They may even be good things. Circumcision wasn't bad. It was something that had been commanded by God to Abraham in the Old Testament. You know, it may be good things, but when we tend to focus on the things we have to do, even the things we do for God, when you make that your focus, and you're focusing on the things you do for God instead of the things that God does for you, you are subtly turning away from God, and you're turning away from the gospel. When we focus on what we have to do, when that becomes the main thing, the gospel ceases to be good news. Imagine you are a Jewish Christian. To you, this would seem like, what's the big deal? You got to get circumcised. We all got circumcised. So you got to eat according to a Jewish tradition. We eat that way. If you were a Jewish Christian, what's the big deal? Why can't you do it? We do it. But now imagine you're one of these people who wasn't Jewish. And imagine you've been told, you're a man, and you're told that you've got to go have this surgery done. Very painful surgery. Under first century conditions, you got to have this surgery done. You got to be circumcised before you can enjoy the blessings of God. Imagine you're a woman and you've been told that you've got to learn how to cook according to a Jewish diet before you can enjoy the blessings of God. All of a sudden, that's not good news anymore. All of a sudden, that's not a gospel anymore. Because all of a sudden, it's not about God anymore. All of a sudden, it's about what you've got to do. Now, from a Jewish person's perspective, it might seem like, what's the big deal? We've all done those things. Those are good things. But for someone who wasn't Jewish, it's no longer good news. When you add to the gospel, you take away from the gospel, and it ceases to be good news. There are a lot of things in life that are part of a Christian world and life view. They are implications and applications of the gospel. They are things that as you grow as a Christian, you learn to mature in this area and that area. But if you make them a requirement for blessing, if people have to get these things right first, then all of a sudden the gospel's not a gospel. It's no longer about God. It's no longer good news. Now all of a sudden it's one more thing you gotta do. And so Paul is passionate because he knows that the gospel is not just good news for you. It's good news for everybody else. It's not just intended to be good news for you, but it's also intended to be good news for people who are not like you. It's not just good news for people, in this case, who are Jewish, but it's also good news for people who are not Jewish. And so Paul is passionate to preserve the fact that the gospel is good news about God and what God has done for you. So that when you are feeling overwhelmed, when you feel like you don't measure up, when you feel like your focus is all about what I got to do now and what I got to do next, and you are feeling anxious or you are feeling stressed, maybe you're feeling proud because you think you're doing pretty well. Whenever you're focusing primarily on you and what you got to do, Paul wants you to stop and remember the gospel is not primarily about you. The gospel is about God. It's about who God is and what God has done for you. That Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross for your sins to send you blessing and peace for free. That's good news. And Paul does not want you feeling beaten down and worn out, and he doesn't want us to beat anyone else down. He wants you to feel refreshed. He wants you to feel invigorated. He wants you to be renewed. He wants you to know that the gospel is good news. The gospel is really good news for you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess that our focus, so often our focus is on the things that are just right in front of us, our responsibilities, our concerns, our problems. And it's just so easy for us to take our eyes off of you. And the gospel ceases to be good. Remind us, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to hear and receive and believe. The gospel is about you. It's about who you are and what you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to maybe even for the first time to understand what makes the gospel really good news. Sometimes it just seems too good to be true. And so we qualify it to death and we add this and we add that. Lord, help us to see what it is about the gospel that makes it so good, that makes it good news. Help us to be refreshed. Help us to be invigorated. Help us to be renewed. Help us to see the gospel really is good news from you. We pray this, Lord. We ask for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.